through 21. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasurer's house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Forget those other names. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now, God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should we see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Meshach, and Abednego, "Please test your servants for the 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this test, to testing them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into the service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Phew. This is the word of God for the people of God. Okay. And now, let our hearts be prepared to receive the message from Pamela. Remain faithful no matter what.
You did a good job. Let us pray. Dear Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. My title today is Remain Faithful No Matter What. Christmas is over, and now we are thinking of the new year. A lot of us are busy preparing for the new year and making resolution. And for some of us, They may involve food, or better put, staying away from food. In that, we have a great hero in the prophet Daniel, who, as a young man who made some resolution in his book, said, to which he stated faithfully all the days of his life. New Year's resolution only work for people who trust God and understand and practice faithfulness just like Daniel did through his entire life. Not just that one day, entire life. No matter if things are big or small or whatever it is that comes his way, he remained faithful. Daniel 6:4 said, they tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, nothing, because he was very, very trustworthy. They tried to do all they could to knock him down, but they could not, unless it was due to God's law. That's the only thing they could find. The first point was care and teaching of God. Faithfulness requires that we understand that the providence of God is continually at work in the life of every believer. Here we see God's sovereignty. You see, the defeated people, the divine providence allowed Nebuchadnezzar to overtake Jerusalem and defeat Jehovah. It is in interest that the Bible says the Lord gave over Jehoiakim, whatever they pronounce, into the king's hand. They didn't just fight and win. It's because God gave it over. And God does that sometimes to us. The desecrated place in Nebuchadnezzar had also desecrated the house of God. How? They remove everything. They remove the vessels from the house of God to the land of Shinar, to the house of their God. Sometimes our God allowed these plans to suffer. He allowed the Babylonians to raid the temple, the house, his house. They took articles and put it in the house of the Babylonian God. This so-called God may have been Bel, the chief god of the Babylonians. I can imagine the people of God must have felt very sad to see people come and take everything out of their church. Well, we call it their temple, is their church. Take everything out and take it to a place that that serve a statue or something made of gold or a man that's enchanting whatever nonsense he does. That must have been sad in their heart, and they must have been disappointed, but they didn't understand God at that moment, what God was doing. Yes, we feel disappointed when the resolution we made for the coming year, when our church is split or closed down for whatever reason. Brothers and sisters, we do not know why God allowed things to happen. Some people said, why our church looks so empty? Is it? How do you know the other chairs are not filled by God. God places whosoever he wants to place at the right time, at the right moment. Don't worry about those empty seats. Worry about what God is doing. But like the people who witnessed the destruction of the temple by the Babylonians, yes, they were sad. But we must trust God that he works in all things for good, and that he is in control of the world, and he's always watching over all of us. Verse 3-4 talks about the king looking for young men of noble character. In other words, no blemish, smart, willing to learn his language, which was Aramaic. Under the watchful eyes of the Lord, Daniel was taken captive by the Babylonians as a teenager. He did not waste time criticizing or complaining about his terrible situation. But what he did was he walked in the providence of the living God, not the so-called man-made God. He never wavered. He knows in his heart that the superintending hands of the Almighty God was in full control. His faithfulness was found upon the confidence he knows about God. He knows God. He trusts God. God, because he knows that God is still in control. Do you know that God is still in control of your life? Even when things go wrong, no matter what it is, you got to hold on. You got to trust him. Trust him. Take his path. Follow his ways and not the ways of others who will only lead you astray. Our God is powerful and mighty, and he cares about us. A poet said, "Cease your thinking, troubled Christians. What avail your anxious care? God is ever thinking for us. Jesus every burdens bear. Cast all your care upon him. Sink into his blessed will. While he folds you to his bosom, sweetly whispering, peace, be still." My second point is pressure from others. We all know we have been there. We all know how people pressure us. I was at my friend's house, and I was in my dream, and the Lord said, "Buy a Honda." And my friend says, "What? You drive a Honda?" I said, "Yes, whatever God tells me to do is what I'm going to do. And if it was a Honda, I would do it too." It's not about what you drive, who you are, or what job you have. It's about who is in here. Who are you serving? Nothing else should matter. Take your nose out of the gutter. Put it up where it belongs. Verse 3 and 7 talks about faithfulness requires that Christians withstand the pressure brought to them by others. to bear, and also by society in which they live. Shortly after Daniel's arrival in Babylon as a captive, Daniel faced tremendous pressure from the people, both in rigorous training to which he was subjected and with the royal table with which he was tempted. A lot of us get tempted to do things we know we should not do. But if we are in the will of God, like Daniel, we will resist. Babylonians exert constant pressure, not just on Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, but on all the people. All the people who were Christian, the ones who know God. But Daniel and his friends resist them. Can you? Will you resist? Brothers and sisters, faithful resistance must be maintained if we expect to display a positive and powerful witness for God. Faithfulness, allegiance must be given to the Lord and his laws. Disobedience and defection means only disaster. Daniel's faithfulness was challenged by the pressure of the Babylonians, challenged by the society. But did he give in? No. He prevailed. Daniel did not eat the food that was given to him. It may have been pork that was forbidden by the Jewish law. We don't know. Or he did not wish to accept the king's food, because he may think that he might owe him a favor later on. Yes, he was in a place that did not honor God, but Daniel still obeyed the laws of God. My third point is not subject to change. Verse 8 to 16 talks about faithfulness requires that Christian resolve in their heart that they will not disobey God or disappoint him, and no one will change their mind. Verse 8a says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. He was faced with forbidden food. So he decided in his heart that he would not eat it. He asked the chief for permission not to defile his ways. We can resist temptation if we are strong in the Lord. Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego made their decision to be faithful to God's laws before they were faced with the food and wine. So before you leave your home, you should make sure that you're prayed up. You should make sure that your children are bloodied up. That when they go out there, you don't have to worry, because you know that they are taken care of by God. Daniel presents his case, and the royal eunuch agreed. But did he agree, or did God intervene? I believe God intervened. He moved with an unseen hand to change the heart of the Babylonian's official. God promised to be with his people in times of trial and temptation. Psalms 106:46 says, He caused them to be pitied by all who held them captive. You see, God's compassion and mercy towards us are not limited by our faithfulness to Him, but by His mercy and His love for His people. Verse 16 says, the guard took away the food and wine from Daniel and his friends and gave them vegetables instead. Daniel did find a way to live by God's standard in a culture that do not honor God. Instead of rebelling, I don't want that. That's not good. I'm not going to eat that. He negotiates. He suggests, let give me vegetable and wine. Let your people eat all that food. Let my people eat vegetable and wine. Give me 10 days and see what will happen. So they eat, they drink for 10 days, and they were healthier than the ones who eat the king's food. They trust that God would protect them and save their lives and make them be what He wants them to be. And God did. We too, as children of God, can adjust to our culture as long as we put God first. I can imagine Daniel's relief when they took away the portion of the king's meat. Oh, he don't want to defile his body. He wants to do what God said do. Nothing short of discipline, dedicated, and determined heart will enable one to obey God rather than man, regardless of the consequences. We must put in our hearts to all who follow the Lord that He and He only will do the right thing for us. Give us the right food, the right mind. Trust Him. Daniel's faithfulness was finalized in the heart with purpose. He knew what he had to do for the Lord. Brothers and sisters, do you know what your purpose is? Do you know what God's plan for your life is? Are you open to let Him in and let Him do what He says He's going to do? Are you? If not, talk to Him before you do anything and trust Him no matter what obstacle comes your way, no matter where He placed you. My fourth point is stay where God put you. Some of us, well, people, we have good church members, thank you, Lord. But some people, they can't stay still. They want to jump from church to church, place to place, instead of listening to what God is telling them to do. Verse 8:16 talks about Daniel and his friends, that they learned all they could from their new culture. They worked very hard and was obedient to whatever they were told to do. The song says, I do, don't you? As my prayer before I start, I know a great Savior. I do, don't you? I live by His favor. I do, don't you? For grace implore Him. I worship before Him. I love and adore Him. I do, don't you? I want Him to see me. I do, don't you? For service to choose me. I do, don't you?
I want him to bless me, to own and confess me completely positive and completely possess me. I do, don't you? Daniel and his friends never wavered their faithfulness to God. So the Lord gave them the wisdom and skill to do whatever they needed to do. Culture does not violate God's command. As a matter of fact, it can help in accomplishing his purpose. And who listens and follow God are free to be competent leaders in our culture. But in all things, we must put God first. The king placed Daniel and his friends on their staff. This staff include many magicians and enchanters who think they can tell the future through their culture and practice. They claim it came directly from their gods. But they did not know that the true God gave Daniel and his friends wisdom and understanding. So when they went before the king to present anything, the king said, what's going on here? I thought that my enchanters knew everything. I thought they were right. I thought the magician was great. But here comes Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They seem to know more than my people does. Brothers and sisters, when we serve others, we must not merely pretend to have wisdom. Our wisdom should be genuine, and it should come from God, not from man-made God. Daniel and his friends achieved excellence in their work because they prayed for God's help, and they maintained their integrity. Some of us may feel like foreigners whenever we experience change. Alien cultures come in many forms. It could be in a new job, a new school, moving to a new neighborhood, whatever it was or should be. God should always be in the midst of it first, not listening to others. Not people telling you you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't go there, you shouldn't be there. No. Listen to your heart. He talks to us. He tells us what he wants us to do. So we should be faithful to him. And he will always keep us safe. Faithfulness allows God to strategically determine the place of his devoted people, the placement of his devoted people. Daniel spent the rest of his life in high office, overseeing nations as God-man in a unique place for about 80 years. Those who faithfully adhere to the word of God will be strategically placed right where God wants you. Today, my conclusion is faithfulness focuses on special place of service, which only the Lord can give. When God places anyone in a specific place of service, it is because that person has been divinely taught, trained, tested, and tempered. The school of God equips his people for effective work in everything we do for him. Brothers and sisters, trust God. Trust him to lead you in the right direction, to give you the right spouse, the right job, the right church, the right anything that you're in need of. He knows your heart. He knows what you need and what you don't need. You don't have to run and cry to others. Say to him, Lord, here I am. I am your servant. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. Wherever you want me to go, I will go. Brothers and sisters, trust God and know that you are in his will. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for this word, oh God. Thank you for these wonderful church people, oh God. Bless each and every one of us. Bless your word, God. Let them be hearers and doers, Lord. We thank you for this day and for the new year to come. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.